You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Critical Workers Exemption Scheme was announced last month, meaning people working in sectors such as food production, supply chain, transport and news media can still come into work if they are a close contact of COVID-19. However, should workers still be able to stay home if they feel unsafe? I spoke to Green Party MP and spokesperson for workplace relations, Jan Logie. Do you think workers should be able to stay home if they feel unsafe?
Well, I guess if we're talking about feeling unsafe in the workplace, then that's actually about putting the onus back on employers to ensure their safety while being at work. And, you know, that can be anything from putting people in cohorts in terms of rostering, making sure that there's the ability to distance and having the appropriate PEP. And we do need to ensure that, and that is an obligation on employers to keep their staff safe. And if people who are immune compromised, we do believe that there needs to be that protection for them to be able to take extra measures to keep themselves safe and be able to stay at home, even though, you know, while we are all so incredibly grateful to everybody who is going to work to keep our health system running and enable us to access the food that we need to be able to survive through this time.
Quite a specific example, I guess, but for some critical workers, if their children test positive, I guess this is mainly school kids, should they be able to stay home to look after their kids?
If their kids need them, that, in the Greens' perspective, that always has to be the first priority. You can't leave kids unattended without care at home while being positive. That's just irresponsible. And I suspect, you know, people would have something to say if people were being told to do that. And absolutely our expectation is that people are supported to parent their kids when they're sick.
Do you think it should be assumed, or do you think it should be on a case-by-case basis that for critical workers?
I think that the critical workers coming in, and the provision at the moment is that people come in if they're in that list on terms of critical workers and that they've got a negative RAT test. But other provisions in terms of ability to care for sick kids applies, as does protections for people who are immunocompromised, as do requirements on workplaces to provide safe environments. So those, I guess the first two needs have been strengthened a bit and need to be protected, and the other just in terms of safe workplaces needs particular focus now, but is an existing obligation on employers, obviously.
For some workers who may be in more precarious positions, like on a casual contract, what does this mean for their jobs during this current exemption?
Well, in terms of some of that is complicated, isn't it? It's because we've been hearing from people all the way through the pandemic who are on casual contracts with, you know, say in particularly if they've got a contract with a minimum number of hours, but they usually work much longer hours, that they're only been getting support for the minimum hours, and that to the Greens has been unacceptable and needed intervention to fix that. And in the situation, I haven't been hearing direct stories, but I'm sure our unions have, about how that's playing out in this current phase, because we, you know, and this does speak to me about the need to strengthen our employment framework generally to reduce precarious work and to even up that imbalance of power, because we've seen it time and time again through the pandemic of how problematic that is in terms of ensuring people's health and safety at work as well as their basic ability to feed themselves.
Have any unions or workers reached out, or not really? Do you think that'll kind of come about soon?
I've reached out to a few just to check in about where things are at the moment, but haven't heard back from them. And it may well be because they're really busy. We certainly have been in conversation earlier in different stages of the pandemic, and the First Union did some great social media for people about what their rights at work were, and then got inundated by calls, particularly from younger people, about, okay, so you're saying these are my rights, how do I access these? Because my employer's saying this. And really, I believe that speaks to our need to have higher rates of unionisation, because it's been really clear that, particularly for younger and more marginalised working people, that a conversation with their employer isn't cutting the mustard in terms of being able to access their legal employment rights. You know, of course there are good employers, but in too many cases, they haven't been accessing their basic employment rights, and we need to be able to get that support from unions to more workers to be able to ensure they get those rights.
Do you think a greater union membership in New Zealand would help workers advocate?
Absolutely. There's super good evidence internationally around when higher rates of unionisation has reduced economic inequality, but also safer workplaces. You know, you can't question that evidence from overseas experience. So the Greens have promoted default union membership, which is not saying everyone has to be a member, but that when you sign up to a job, that actually the default is that you're joined up to a union and then you can opt out if you don't want to be a member, as opposed to the situation at the moment where people have to opt in and find their way to a union. Because we know that for unions to be able to intervene in these cases, actually they need to have the capacity to do that. And with really low union membership, and particularly we see in hospitality, it makes it really hard for them to intervene. Could I make one other point?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, please.
Which is a concern particularly for our health sector, and the, you know, these issues in terms of keeping our essential health services going and ensuring that people are able to stay home if they've got symptoms, even if their RAT test is still showing negative. It's become really, really clear that we don't have enough staff doing those jobs at the moment to give us that cushion for everybody to be safe and make safe decisions. And it was really gutting to see the DHBs last week go to court to prevent our allied health workers from striking, because we know that they, you know, like, strikings are massive call to make, particularly from workers who are so worried about their patients that they're working 16-hour days on a regular basis to not let them down, that things have got so desperate that they felt the need to strike, and then for the DHBs to go to court and remove that right. Like, this is something, like, I really hope everybody listening will get in behind the healthcare workers and their call for decent wages and safe working conditions, because, you know, like, basically what they're fighting for is a safe health system.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.